Exactly. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
I think that it is important for our audience to get an idea of your church, Unitarian Church, because I remember when I came to Rhode Island, I became involved with it was Reverend Hayes. What's the name? I can't remember exactly what was his last name. With Planned Parenthood, and I found so refreshing to have a church involved in so many social issues like the Unitarian Church. So I think it would be important for our audience to learn a little bit more about the Unitarian Church how did it come about, and what is the mission of this church? And specifically to the Latino community, your work with immigrant communities is very important for us. So tell us a little bit about the Unitarian Church.
Okay, so the Unitarian Church in Providence is about to celebrate its 300th birthday in 2020. It has slowly evolved over time and changed, of course. Our denomination came over from England, and it's always been a religion that has been on the progressive side of whatever theological and social issues were happening at the time. So part of that is rooted in our principles. Our first religious principle, not our beliefs, but our principles that we live and operate by, is the inherent worth and dignity of every human being. And if that's really something that's central to everything you believe, then it ends up having to be central to everything you do, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, then you often, I think, end up on the progressive side of faith and social justice issues, because those are so often concerned with the well-being of everybody and not just the well-being of some. So that tends to be why we end up taking the kind of positions that we take in terms of social justice, and trying to make sure that we're paying attention to what's happening to everybody and not just a few. Shall I stop there?
No. Keep going, because you said the principles that you were enumerating for the church. The first is the dignity of everyone and the human beings. What are the other principles?
The inherent worth and dignity of every human being. So we have a bunch of principles, and they're really probably surprising to some people. One of them, for example, is the importance of the democratic process, which for us actually is a point of faith, because again, it all comes out of that first principle. If you believe in the inherent worth and dignity of every person, then every person needs to have a voice. Every person needs to be able to participate in their decision making. We don't have an established hierarchy in our churches, so each congregation decides its own fate, runs its own self financially, decides how it wants to operate and what it wants to do with itself. Each congregation picks its own minister, so I'm new here at First Unitarian. Because of a two-year process they were in to find a new minister. And they did a search and put themselves out there.
So it's a church from the bottom up as opposed to the top down.
Exactly. It's trickle-up church.
Trickle-up church.
It's trickle-up church. Mm-hmm. And so people all have a voice. The leadership of the church is all people who volunteer or are nominated to help serve the community in leadership positions. And then ministers, likewise, can make their own determinations about should they be staying at this church, is it time for them to look for a different settlement, because of whatever opportunities are available or whatever call we're feeling in terms of where we think our ministry needs to go. And then you sort of meet up with each other. There's an electronic clearinghouse that helps connect ministers and churches. It's a little like Match.com for ministers and churches that in our movement that helps us find each other, which is what happened.
Okay, so let me translate what you said thus far. Bienvenida y bien bien clara. I was just saying how I explained to my wife when the minister of the Unitarian Church was a member of the board of directors of Planned Parenthood, and she was like, you have you have a minister as part of the of Planned Parenthood, you know, which was very controversial at the time. And so I said, no, he's from the Unitarian Church. And she was like, so what is that? So I had to explain to her, and what I said was, you know, it's almost like a church that grabbed all the good things of all the different religions in the world, not just Christians, but, you know, Buddhist and Muslim and Christian, and put it together in one little box. And, you know, anyone that goes into the Unitarian Church is welcome. So it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what you believe, it doesn't matter how you pray, it doesn't matter, you know, what your idiosyncrasies are. There is a sense of openness and welcoming that the Unitarian Church has that that I found very refreshing at the time.
I think that's been part of who we are for a very long time, and it's played out differently. We were one of the first denominations to ordain women as ministers. We much later became one of the first denominations that makes no distinction between gay or straight or lesbian ministers, and we also have been performing gay and lesbian marriage ceremonies for a long time. So for us as a faith, we don't draw a distinction. If you love each other and you want to commit to each other and spend your life together, then that's sacred to us, and we are happy to celebrate it. So one of the things that we've been pretty central in is the work for marriage equality, and one of the greatest privileges and joys of my life was the first day it became legal in Maryland, which is where I came here from. We did 10 weddings that day.
Wow.
A lot of the people that I married that day were members of the church who had been together for decades, and they had been through everything together. And now they were finally able to marry, having, you know, been through everything that a marriage requires, you know, life and death and family, and the things that stretch us and make us most challenged and most beautiful as human beings. That was all present for them. And it was so wonderful to be able to unite these people who had been so deeply united for so long already.
Yeah, no, I was just saying that part of your mission is not just a religious worship, but you actually get involved in politics, you actually get involved in lobbying, you actually get involved in pushing for justice causes in the legislature. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing, right? Because here's our country affirming the separation of church and state all the time.
Yeah.
But the truth is that while they may need to be, and rightly are, separated legally, there's no way to just entirely ignore what our religious values and principles tell us about how we need to live in the world, because that's what politics is, right? Politics are values applied to the laws that regulate how we are with each other. And so if you're coming from a place that's deeply vested in values and principles, you've got to be thinking about how you can support those in the real world. So for us, it's not a matter of affiliating with one political party or another, although a lot of our people do affiliate with a political party and they care about being political in the world. But for us, it's about figuring out how can we work to support these values in the world, and who do we need to find to work with in order to make our vision manifest, our vision that the world is a place that is safe and just and caring to all people, regardless of your sexual identity or your ethnicity or your class, that it needs to be a place where all people feel safe and welcome, where all people have the same opportunities.
Or your immigration status, which is one of the biggest issues that you guys are covering now, and we'll talk about that in a little while.
Exactly.
So one of the things that obviously I wanted you to come to the station to talk about is about the Unitarian Church becoming a sanctuary for undocumented immigrants at a time when undocumented immigrants are under siege by the current administration, and the fear that families are experiencing right now in having a place like a church, which in history churches were always sanctuary, but now you are actually making an affirmation of that. that sanctuary status for the Unitarian Church. So tell us about how that came about and what does it mean?
Okay. Let me say first that for me, the kind of sanctuary status the church needs to be committed to is twofold. One aspect of it is that the church voted in April to become a sanctuary congregation. April or the end of March? Anyway, last spring. And they voted to commit themselves to being a sanctuary church, meaning, as you say, that we are preparing ourselves to be a place where an individual or a family will be able to stay inside the church and be safe if somebody who has undocumented status and is at risk. The second piece of this that I think we also need to be very mindful of is that if every single church in Rhode Island said they were going to take in a family or an individual who's undocumented, that would not meet the need. That wouldn't come close to meeting the need. And that's true for all our churches everywhere. The need is so much greater. So part of the sanctuary commitment that I think we need to be paying attention to is making sure that the sanctuary status that's being affirmed in Providence by the mayor and others, by a number of leaders, which is so wonderful, making sure that we're really clear about what that means and what that offers people, and that we're communicating it very thoroughly, and that it's 100% solid, and people believe it's 100% solid, so that the undocumented immigrants who are living here and feeling themselves to be unsafe and therefore sometimes not availing themselves of services that they need, not being able to be present or participating in communities and events that they should be present for, don't feel like they need to avoid them or hide from them because we're talking about a kind of sanctuary that is loose and not clear enough that people can really rely on it. So there's the sanctuary status within the church, but there also needs to be the sanctuary status beyond the walls of the church that the church is also committed to.
Okay.
So, should I stop?
Right, yeah. It's also interesting that you have votes to do these kinds of things, you know, which, you know, you just don't see that in the church.
It was an overwhelming vote, almost 90% of the church,
90%
which is huge.
Of the church voted for Azikino. So he's asking you questions about the church specifically. He's a Catholic, and he says that there's obviously a discrepancy between the beliefs of the Catholic Church and gay marriage and the Unitarian Church. He's also asking you if you believe that Jesus Christ was born on December 25th and that he died on the cross.
I should say that as part of what you, Dr. Rodriguez, what you were noticing earlier about the fact that Unitarian Universalists pull a lot from different world religions and try to grow our understandings by paying attention to different kinds of wisdom, what I believe personally does not necessarily represent what everyone in my church believes.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. There's a range of beliefs in my church. So we have people who are humanists, people who are Christians, people who are Jewish, people who are Buddhist, and they're all there in the church on Sunday morning. I am myself the daughter of a Jewish Catholic marriage.
Uh-huh.
So I can answer his question, but I have to make that distinction that what I say for myself is not necessarily representative of others in the community that I lead. Do you want to?
Yeah, so, and that's very, very interesting and very important, you know, distinction, because, you know, when we have a church that is from the top down, you know, you have to follow, you know, the letter of the law.
And believe me, there's times I wish I could assert that.
So you could actually say that the Unitarian Church is always in a state of evolution.
In fact, that's one of the principles, is that revelation is never sealed. We're never done.
Uh-huh.
We try to, Socrates, right, said an unexamined life is not worth living.
Exactly.
We try to lead examined lives all the time. And that means that what I think I understand now about faith and how I should live might be the same forever, or it might change tomorrow because of something that happens that makes me realize they need to change how I understand things.
Sure. Hola, buenos días. Gracias a usted por su llamada y por su sintonía. So you just found another person that wants to be a member of your church. So his question is, you know, where is the church and what time is the service, and can he just show up and observe and be, you know, part of the ceremony of the service?
Yeah, absolutely. We welcome everybody. We hope that with this new ministry and a new era in the life of the church, that this will be a time of growth and evolution for us. Our services are Sunday mornings at 10:30 in the morning. We're situated at the corner of Benefit and Benevolent Streets in downtown Providence on College Hill. It's a big white stone church. And we'd love to have people come visit us. We are excited to have new people coming, and we're looking forward to being a community that is growing and changing in response to the issues of the day and the people who are coming in the doors.
Perfecto. Gracias, Ingrid. So she's saying that that she admires the Italian church because of all the social work and all the involvement. And she's been here in Providence for many years, and has always seen the members of the Unitarian Church involved in justice issues. So she's thanking you. So, and I thank you for taking the time to join us today. Good luck. And I know that we will see each other again. it'll be difficult not to, because we're involved in many of the same issues that are justice and the worth of every individual. So I hope that we can get a lot of people showing up and saying, I heard you on Latino Public Radio and I have to come.
I'm so glad. Thank you so much for having me. It's really been a pleasure and an honor.
Thank you. Vamos a tomar una pausa.